friend, and I just felt like my heart wanted to come here. I'm from this area, but I've been in Oregon for so long, and I know that's where God has me. But I just an overwhelming compassion for this area. How many know compassion is good? Yeah. It is good. My mom's too overly compassionate sometimes, I think. But anyway, that's mamas, you know. You know how mamas are. But I'm so glad to be here. I'm privileged to be here, for you to have me here. It's an honor to be here. The song that talks about King Jesus, man, I'm a big baby. I'm with the one guy that was up here praying, crying. I cry, man. You'll probably see me cry today. It's okay. I never used to be like that, but you know, when you have a relationship with a living God, not a dead God, a living God, something happens to you. This thing's real, people. It's real. He's alive. He's here today. He's been in this place for quite a while. Ever since I walked in here, he was in here. And it makes a difference when God begins to touch hearts. I always say this to my church: God don't deal with your mind right away. He deals with your heart. Then he'll deal with your mind later. He'll straighten things out. Amen? And that's a process. Let me tell you, that is a process. But for me, I've been preaching for quite a while now, and it's just like football. When I played football, you develop into it. There's giftings. God gives giftings to a church. People in the church, there's giftings here. Man, this is really good worship today, too. It was awesome. A guy on the violin, that was just amazing. Yeah. Amazing. If that don't touch you, you might be dead. I don't know. You might not be alive. They touch me. But there's giftings in the church also. And when I played football, we had a great football team. Boy, I had great years in the high school, man. It was just awesome. Don't want to go back. Sometimes I do, because you get older, your body starts breaking down. Anyway, I won't get into that. But I had a great time playing football, and it was a passion of mine. But let me tell you, I'll be honest with you, I made it my God. It was my God. That's what I thought I was going to do. I thought I was going to play professional football like my young boy now. He thinks he's going to play professional football, and he very well could play professional football one day. I don't know what God's plan is for him, but I always tell him the same thing. Follow God with all your heart, and he'll straighten out all the things where you need to go, where you need to be. God don't have a problem with football, but he has a problem with you putting it first. The Bible says he's a jealous God. Anything you put before God, any person, anything, God's jealous of that. You say, I thought jealousy was a bad thing. Not when somebody loves you like God loves you. Not when somebody cares for you like God cares for you. Nobody can care for you like God. Nobody can. But I remember, it's really interesting. It's, you know, I got saved in a bathroom, okay? I went to a church, and this is how this worked, okay? I went to church, just like church, about this size. I went to church, and the Holy Spirit began to deal with my heart, and this is what I said: I got to get out of this place. God is in here. I was only 13 years old, and I said, I know what I'm doing. I'm smart. I'll go down in the bathroom and wait this thing out. And I'll just wait it out, and you know what? God's in the bathroom too, I'm going to tell you. Interesting thing is that I found myself back up in that service when I was 13 years old, and I gave my heart to Jesus, and he never left me. But I did not serve God for about 7-8 years. I did not serve God. But the interesting thing is where I gave my life completely over to the Lord was in a bathroom in McKinleyville, California. And I looked in the mirror, and nobody I knew was serving God except my mama. Those mamas again. And I looked in the mirror with tears in my eyes, and I meant this. And I mean, church, this is where it all happens. I don't know where you're at. You may be here today, but if not, you can be there at the end of this service. I looked in the mirror with tears in my eyes. I said, I've lived 21 years for myself. You got the rest of me. I meant it. And it changed my life. I'm here today preaching the good news, the gospel, because God's plan for my life. And there is a gift in my life that God put there that I wasn't aware of until I developed it. So today, all you're doing is receiving from God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Man can do nothing, but the Spirit of God, he can do all things. All things are possible. When he shows up, big things happen. Healings take place. Miracles take place. Broken hearts are mended. What I'm preaching to you today, I know about. I've been doing this for 20 years. And let me tell you something, as a Christian, if anybody ever told you being a Christian is going to be easy, they lied to you. They lied. Those preachers lied. But whatever you're facing, the grace of God, which I'm preaching on today, the grace of God can get you through it. The Apostle Paul said in Corinthians, he said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I'm finding that out more. Until you face things that are so big and so great that you don't know how you're going to get through them, most people end up at God's on their knees at that place most of the time. That's where I found it. But when you're weak, there's a strength that girds you. And you may not even feel like you're strong, but He's there the whole time. I know what I speak of. He will get you through it. There's people here today, you're right there. And you're saying, God, where are you? I'm telling you, He's right there. But if you will put Him first place in your life, He will get you through it. And when you come through it, you'll look back and go, God, you surely were with me the whole time. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. There's pain in life. You know, Christian, you know, the Apostle Paul, when he was called, you know, he wasn't called to say, God didn't say, you're going to be the greatest preacher of all time. You're going to write letters. He didn't say any of that. You know what he said? He said, I've called you to show you how many things you must suffer for my name's sake. I don't know about you, but I might have said, this isn't for me. Amen. I better get into this message because I'm telling you, I'm on fire this morning, okay? I'm passionate about this thing. You know, when you love somebody, you're passionate about them. I can tell you with all my heart, there's nobody I love more than God. Nobody. Not mama, not my kids, any. I will go and do anything God's called me to do. That's what God needs. Amen? That's what He needs. He doesn't need your ability. He doesn't need my ability. He's much bigger than all that. It's His ability in us. That's what I'm going to be speaking about today, God's grace. Everybody say grace.
Grace.
Now, I got about 30 minutes, maybe 40 if I do a really good job. Okay? I know how this works. If you see people walking on their rear end, you know they're ready and they're hungry and they're ready to go. They're ready. You feed them spiritually, and then the next thing they want to do is they want to go get some food. I know how it works. But in the Bible, in the King James Version, over 206 times it says the word grace. 206 times. It's a lot. You say, Pastor, what is grace? Now, there's a lot of definitions that people can use. Not a lot, but different ways that people bring it about. But, you know, undeserved favor and blessing. Can you say undeserved?
Undeserved.
Favor.
And blessing.
You can't deserve it. You know, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, we are saved by grace through faith. Not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's a gift. I talked about gifts earlier. You may have physical gifts. You may have anointing. That's the anointing. But that all comes from God. And here's the thing. People, right now, there are people in different religions, and they're working. They're trying to be good enough. Most of you people in here know you can't be good enough. But there may be somebody in here who's just saying, man, if I could just get it right, let me tell you something. You're not going to get it right. You're not going to get it right. I'm going to show you today, there's only one way. You know, years ago, a preacher said to me, he said, you know, either Jesus told the truth or He lied. Either He told the truth or He lied. If He lied one time, He's a liar. But the problem with that was over 2,000 years ago, and why are we all here today? See, truth prevails. Truth is solid. Truth is something you need to hang on to. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. The gift, which is Jesus Christ, the greatest gift that was ever given to mankind. And it will always be the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He gave Him His very self. In Philippians chapter 2, it says that He humbled Himself. You know that Jesus was on the throne with the Father at the right hand? And He humbled Himself. You know why? To come near here, to this earth, let's be honest, it's messed up. People were messed up. I was messed up. Second drunk driving. Trying to drown myself in alcohol. Just messed up. And Jesus saw me in the bathroom. He seen me. You know, people say God won't go to certain places. God's everywhere. And He don't care where you're at, and He's coming for you. I'm going to tell you today, you can run from God, but go ahead and keep running. He's going to get you. Because the prayers of mamas and different people, they hunt you down. I'm telling you. The righteous prayer, they hunt you down. I thank God for my mom. I thank God for her. But I found something out that I can't earn this thing. I definitely don't deserve it. Here's the crazy thing. The more you learn about God and you get a better understanding of Him, pastors know. We all know. Man, I really don't deserve this. It's undeserved favor and blessing. That's what grace is. God wants to bless your life. You say with material things, listen, those things are monetary. Those things don't. Those aren't the real riches. Listen, God is taking care of me. I never even worry about my needs. Never. I don't even have to. God will take care of me. He said he would. He said, do not worry in Matthew 6. So I don't. You say, is that possible? I'm telling you, it's possible. I don't worry about finances. What I do, what I am concerned about is people and the state of people. Jesus said, as a man's life does not consist of the things he possesses. It's not what life is about. Let me tell you what life is about. It's about relationships. That's it. It's about your family, having a good relationship with your family. First of all, having a relationship with God. Amen?
Amen.
See, I want you to think of it kind of like this. You know, the Ten Commandments, which is the law. Did you know the law is the strength of sin? That's what it's for. It's to show you have sin in your life. That's the only purpose of the Ten Commandments. Everybody in here has broken at least one of them. I broke a whole lot more than that, I tell you. But everybody's broken one because God's pointing things out. He's locating you. He's saying you're not good enough, but here's the thing. Then here comes along Jesus, which is full of what? Grace and truth. If you want to find out what God's like, grace and truth. He's full of it. In John chapter 1, verse 14, start reading. Get in there and read. He's full of grace and truth. People say, well, God's about wrath. He wants to pour it. No, he does not. We are in a dispensation of grace. God loves people. But what the law does, it's the strength to sin to point it out that you have sin in your life. And then here comes the gift, Jesus. Here comes the gift. The only one that can deal with your sin. The only one that can take away your sin. It's incredible to believe that I can walk before God righteously because of the grace of God. Because of the free gift, the blood of Jesus that washed away, not one, not two, every single sin in your life. Everyone, the one that you keep thinking about over and over again, which God wants you to forget about. That one right there. You say, Pastor, have you sinned since you've been pastored? Yep. Not proud of it either. But there's grace. Where sin abounds, what grace does, what much more. Listen. The first thing that you have to understand is grace is a free gift of God. You can't earn it. Anytime you think that, you're a proud person. I'm just going to shoot straight with you. You're proud. Well, I can be good enough. No, you can't. The Bible says he resists the proud but gives grace to who? The humble. See, when people say, I don't have a need for God, they're saying, talk to the hand. Think about that. Putting your hand up to Almighty God. That's what they're doing. But as soon as somebody sees the need and sees that they're a sinner and sees there's no way out other than Jesus, they see the love that God had for humanity. And let me tell you something, love will always be the number one thing humanity is looking for. There's nobody in here. You go through, listen, I've been through a divorce, okay? You say, what are you up here for then? Because God's merciful, that's why. But I know what it feels like. Because when you love somebody, and there's rejection involved. See, it does something to you. But thank God for him. That's why I said, that's why you put God first. No matter what you go through, then you will get through it. You won't be bitter. Why? Because the grace of God comes in. Here's the other thing the grace of God is. It's God's ability in you to not sin. You need to know that. See, people think, well, I can just live however I want to. I'm going to tell you straight up, if you're a born-again Christian, every time you sin, you won't like it on the inside. You won't. You'll never say, well, I can sin and get away from it. You won't act that way because there's a change of heart. You know why? Because he's your daddy. You want to please daddy. My number one goal is not to preach great. My number one goal is to please him. That's it. That's it. Because one day I will stand before him. And there's words that every believer wants to hear. Well done, my good and faithful servant. See, there's grace to walk above sin. Where sin abounds, see, there's a misconception there. Where sin abounds, grace does much more. That means this, I have the ability not to sin. You need to know that. The purpose of grace was the free gift to cause you to become a child of God, the living God. And then walk like him. To be therefore imitators of God as what? Dear children, I'm a child of God. If anybody's going to see God, they're going to see him in me. You say, really? Yes, we're his children. He's the head. We're the body. If anything's going to get done, it's going to be the church. Can you say amen?
Amen?
You got a great church here. I can already tell. There's an atmosphere in here right now that is full of God. Can you feel it? That's the worship. That's God invading people's lives. I love preaching because it's the good news. See, I don't bring bad news, man. People, if you're a little bit shy to preach, you know, you can delve into preaching to just about anybody. You got to get the right mindset. You're not bringing bad news. You're bringing something good. Isn't it crazy? Hey, let me tell you something. I got something good to tell you today. You need Jesus. Be like, I don't need Jesus. Yeah, they just don't know what they need. Sometimes you just gotta keep feeding them. And here's what happens. You keep feeding them, and then the bottom drops out in their life. Then they go, what about that Jesus thing? See, and then every seed that you planted, it'll come back. Because the Word of God does not return void. They'll remember. Can you say amen? Amen. So we need to realize that Jesus is full of grace and truth. Now, when you walk with God, all of us know the Holy Spirit resides in me. He's the Spirit of truth. He tells me what's right and wrong. Now, there are people that are not born again. They have what's called a conscience. I got a funny story for you. One time, I was in a house in Roseburg, Oregon. I looked out the window. I saw my daughter, Madison, outside, and I saw her do something she should not be doing. And I called her in, and I said, Madison, why did you do what you just did? I don't even remember what it was, but it wasn't right. I can tell you that. And she goes, what are you talking about? I didn't do that. I said, sweetheart, I seen you out the window do that. Just flat out lied to me. So I said, you know, you really ought to listen to your conscience. She was like five. She goes, what's that? I said, it's that little voice on the inside of you that tells you not to do something. She goes, yeah, but then there's another voice that says this. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. And it's a lot louder. That's what she said. You got a little angel over here. You got a little devil over here. They're always talking. But everybody has a conscience. But what we have is far greater. It's called the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Amen. He'll tell you what's right and wrong. And when you don't do what's right, God is so merciful. He's so merciful. His mercies are renewed, what? Every morning. Every day. I need mercy. Listen, I can tell you right now, I'm not a bad person, but I have no right to be up here at all. But by the grace of God and His righteousness. See, I'm in right standing because of the grace of God. I'm right before God because He washed me whiter than snow. That's it. Now, I was created in Christ Jesus, though, for good works. See, now I was created to walk in the things of God. I can walk. You know, I'm not bragging anything on the grace of God. You know, I've been about 3 weeks without even sinning before. Not one sin that I'm aware of, and the Spirit of truth will tell you. Now, I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you, you can walk free from sin. Amen. You can do it. Is that the goal? Yeah, to be free. Amen. See, the thing about it is, when I was drinking and partying and doing all that stuff, I honestly said this to God. You know, we have a relationship with Him. You can just tell Him. He already knows anyway, you know. I said, God, you know, I really want to serve You, but everything that's fun, I won't be able to do anymore. That's what I told Him. Having sex outside of marriage, getting drunk. I found out later, wow, well, you know, if you're married, the sex thing's still good. It's all right. You can say amen. God created it. But if you're not, it's not a good thing. It's not of God. But I told Him straight up, I said, God, everything that I'm doing that's fun, I found out this. All that stuff was destroying my life. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. You know what? It'll pay you. It'll pay you. Remember I said God's not pouring out His wrath? No, people are sowing and reaping what they've done. That's it. God ain't mad at people. He's not mad at you. Okay, if you ever made God mad, you'd be in big trouble. You'd be in trouble. I'd be in trouble. He's slow to anger, the Bible says. He's slow to anger. You haven't made Him mad. Now, you may have disappointed Him, but He still loves you. And He will encourage you. Here's the thing I found out about my God, my Father. He's an encourager. He never leaves me low. He always says, get back up. The Bible says, how do I know? Because you need to know your Bible. Amen? The Bible says a righteous man. Notice He says a righteous man falls. But seven times he gets back up. If he falls seven times, he gets back up. I totally understood this. Can Mom tell you, when I played football, just like I'm preaching to you right now, I gave it everything I had. And if I got hit and I got tackled, I was one of the first ones up. And you knew if I wasn't, I was hurt. But the good news is, even if you're hurt, God will get you back up. Amen. Hallelujah. It's the truth. How many love Him today? He is faithful. Let me tell you, there's somebody in here, you're going through something. He is faithful. Hey, I'm going to tell you, I know this isn't proper grammar for a church, but listen, when you're waiting, it kind of sucks. God's faithful, but when you're waiting, sometimes, let's just be real, okay? Let's be real. It kind of sucks sometimes, but He's faithful. And keep your mouth right. Keep praising God, saying, God, I'm coming out of this thing. You will not leave me this way. Keep your mouth right. Because honestly, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can always locate yourself by what's coming out of your mouth. But when the pressure's on, then you find out. You just keep thanking God. Say, Lord, in due season, I will reap if I do not lose heart, if I do not faint. That's how I live my life. There's times where it's so tough and you don't see a way out, but I know there's a way out. Amen. How do I get out? By faith. I just got to trust God. Doesn't look good. I don't like it at times. You know, King David didn't like it. I mean, read all the Psalms. That's a man saying, he's crying, my tears are overwhelming me. I am just a mess here. But his mouth was always right. Have you noticed? Listen, if you're in here believing for loved ones, guess what? They're going to get saved. They're going to get saved. God's looking for them. They can't run. They can't hide. Can you say amen? Grace is going to come looking for them. Jesus is grace. Amen? Hallelujah. What did I get? About 15 minutes there? I got a lot more. But I will be respectful. God knows what He's doing. Can you say amen? All right, I want to go to Psalms. If you have your Bible, go to Psalms 30. We said that grace, one of the things that grace is, it's favor. Everybody say, I'm God's favorite. You know, I have a daughter in here today. She truly believes with all her heart she's the favorite out of five kids that I have. I mean, no. She tells them, I'm Dad's favorite. She don't know what she's talking about, but it's good for her to feel that way. It's good for her to feel that way. You know, she really will. She knows me well enough. You know, when you say no and then you say no in a certain way, Then they know you mean business. But she knows that I love her. You know, if you read Psalms 30, verse 5 here, this is really a great scripture. You should try to memorize it. For His anger is for a moment. Now, you said, Pastor, you just said God doesn't get mad. God can get mad. He can. He's slow to anger. But listen to this. It says, His favor for a lifetime, though. It's for a moment. His anger. So God's favor is for a lifetime. It doesn't change. You may think that God should change His mind about you, because if you get into sin and different things, you won't feel good about yourself. I'm just going to be honest with you. If you get into sin as a believer, you can't feel good about yourself. You're not working to get it, but you just know that, man, this is not clean. This is not something. Man, I need a bath. Come on, Jesus. 1 John 1:9. If I confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I need a bath. And you'll know you'll need a bath. But His favor is for a lifetime. You know why? Because His grace is His favor. It will always be there. And that's why, as the church, honestly, when we see people low, don't go up to them and acting like you're all puffed up with pride and say, well, you just need more faith. I've seen people do this. Now, faith is really important. The Bible says, now abide faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And the reason why, when somebody doesn't have any faith, really the only one that really knows that anyway is Jesus. You don't know if they have faith or not, because you can't see in anybody's heart. But Jesus can. That's why He would say things like, ye of little faith. Why do you have no faith? I can't do that. I'm not God. But when somebody's low, church, here's what you do. You love them. You love them. You don't sit there. You don't do any. I mean, when somebody loses a loved one, you love them. You don't have to come up with a bunch of reasons or explanations of why that person. You don't know anyway why that person passed away. I've seen people say, well, if you just had more faith. I come out of a faith church. But that ain't God. You know, it's really important that you read your Bible for yourself. If you're here just listening to me, your pastor right now is listening to every word I'm saying, and he's judging it by the Word of God, I guarantee you. I promise you he is. And that's what he should do. But really what you should do is read it yourself. So you can find out. The Bible says, study thyself to show thyself approved unto God. Amen? You know how many people, you know more Bibles have been sold than any book in the world? Did you know that? And most people don't even read them. They think just having it under their pillow is going to save them or something. It doesn't. I'm not condemning anybody. What I'm telling you is you need to find out what the will of God is. Finding out what is acceptable to Him. There is a right and there is a wrong. And the reason for that is because God loves you. And He wants to preserve your life. That's it. It's not a bunch of rules and regulations. You know the law, the Ten Commandments. They've seen it as a bunch of rules and regulations. And they found out, man, I can't do this. But the thing about it is Jesus said, no, you can't, but I'm going to come. And we've been through that already. And He came and He died and He rose again. And when you believe in Him, the Bible says we rise with Him. Amen. That means no longer we are on the bottom. We're seated in heavenly places. Listen, you don't even... Listen, if you're a born-again Christian, you are passing through. And let me tell you something. I'm 44 now, and I know I don't look it. But I tell my church that all the time. See, you can have what you say. Anyway, now I'm going to have to go back to my notes. I blew everything anyway. We're citizens. We're passing through. Amen. One day I will see Him face to face. I will see Him face to face. And you know what I'll see? I'll not see a God that is ready to judge me according to heaven and hell. I am a saint. It's called the judgment seat of the saints. There's another one called the white throne judgment. You don't want to be in that one. That's why you need to be born again. God loves people. He's calling them to Himself. But if you're a saint, you're not be judged according to heaven and hell. You'll be judged according to what you did here for God. How you lived your life. But see, you don't have to worry about going to hell. See, the thing of it is, if you're born again, you don't want to live that way. You'll find yourself keep coming back for more. Amen? He's the one that loves me. He cares for me more than anybody else. It's not a bunch of rules and regulations. What it is a relationship with a living God that loves me and cares for me. He's looking out for my best interest. Can you say amen again?
Amen.
All right, go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And 21. Paul says this. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh. Now understand this, in the flesh. That's your body, okay? Some of you may not understand that. You're in this body, in the flesh. That's what he's talking about. He says, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself what? For me. Here's what he says, though, verse 21. He says, I do not set aside the grace of God. I don't set it aside. See, grace is where it's at, people. Jesus is full of grace and truth. Grace is where you want to remain, in His good graces, and that's where you're at. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if right standing with God, righteousness, comes through the law, working, being good enough, then Christ died in vain. That means a man came and died for the sins of the whole world for nothing. If you could have been good enough, He died for nothing. He didn't die for nothing. He died for you. You. If you were the only one that would believe in Him, He died for you. But if you don't believe, you can't access grace. See, faith accesses the grace of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 4, if you want to look it up. It says, by faith we access this grace. There's two different things that access grace. It's humility and faith. If you don't believe in Him, you're condemned already. Not because He wants to condemn you, because you just don't believe. See, you choose maybe, possibly, because of your own pride and say, well, I don't need God. I'm doing just fine. Well, we'll see. We'll see. I'm serious about this. We'll see how you do. Because you're going to meet something that's far bigger than you. You're going to meet a giant. And you're going to need God. You know when David, that's one of the greatest stories. They really need to make a movie, a high-quality movie about David and Goliath. You know, the Passion of the Christ was awesome on the crucifixion. But they need to make one on David and Goliath. Because obviously Goliath was way, way bigger than David. I mean, he's about 10 foot tall. There's this young, skinny little runt guy. Good looking and ruddy, it says. And he goes out there and he's different. He has a different mindset than everybody else about this giant. You know why? Because he knew God. He had a relationship with God. They had everything. They had the Bible. They knew, according to, they had the Word of God, but they didn't believe it. You know what happened when he believed? He accessed grace. God's ability in us. Amen? It's bigger than us. It's greater than us. You know, I have no ability to be able to preach like you, this to you other than the grace of God. That's it. You want to know how I know that? You may not know this, but people that are here went to school with me. I couldn't hardly read in high school. I couldn't read. I'm telling you, I shouldn't have graduated. Football helped me graduate. Thank God for football, because I probably would have been in even more trouble. But when I got serious about God, I said, God, I will read every day my Bible for at least 5 minutes. I haven't missed hardly any of them that I can remember. And then what I found out is I had this relationship with God. And then when I found out, I thought, God, you called me to preach? And I see this grace. See, it's the same grace that killed the giant. Amen? I'm here to tell you today, God has a call on your life. He has something for you to do. But you're the only one that can find out what that is. I don't know what it is. You know, it's probably not being a pastor or a preacher. Probably not. It doesn't mean we're the only ones called. Everybody's called. The Bible says that we're all called. Don't let that confuse you when it says many are called but few are chosen. Here's what I found out. When I was a little kid and we were playing flag football, Benny probably knows this, two-hand touch football. You know what? When you're in your neighborhood and they got two leaders, probably the best players probably, and they're picking people. They line them up. Everybody line up. We're picking. Guess what? If many are called, but few are chosen. You get to choose if you want to play. But you got to be in line. See, God ain't picking. He's chosen everybody. He's chosen everybody to come to repentance. He's called everybody to be saved. And God's not going to leave you out. But you have to get so hungry. Here's the thing. Everybody say hunger.
Hunger.
It's important. If you're not hungry for the things of God, you're going to fill yourself with something else. You will. And many of us as believers, I've done it sometimes. I'm filling myself with things that I shouldn't, but then I know where to go back to. Amen? I end up finding myself. But many are called, but few are chosen. God has called everybody out by His grace and has something for them to do. And don't let the devil tell you you're not making a difference. This is by the Spirit of God what I'm going to say right now. The reason why there's so much, many Christians right now feeling depressed is because they're so valuable and God wants to use you so much, the devil's really pouring it on. It's true. I feel it sometimes, that depression try to come on. You say, you're a pastor, why would you? Listen, the devil don't pick and choose. He wants people to be depressed. You know what, I read an article, and I know I'm maybe taking more time than I should. Are you okay?
Yes.
It's getting hot in here, I know, I'm sweating too. But I read Rich England, anybody know Rich England in here? I read one of his articles on Facebook. And he was talking about the Yurok tribe. He's talking about how many people in the last year have committed suicide, 7 people in a year. I'm going to tell you, it's one of the reasons why I came here today. Not because, but I wanted to be in this area because people need hope. You know, when you take your own life, you're hurting, and God knows that. He knows it. You say, well, those people, they've done that to themselves. Listen, they're deceived. They don't want to live like that. They need to know the truth. They need to know there's going to be somebody there for them through the hard times. And God can give them joy. And He can give them hope through it. Amen? His grace is sufficient. It's sufficient for all of us. It's what gets me through. I feel like I need to share this. 3 years ago, I went through a divorce. Hardest thing ever. I know why God hates divorce. I know. Now, sometimes things just happen. 2 of my kids are here. I mean, I'm not saying anything they don't know. But we have a good relationship. Now, I hope the best for her. But things happen. Things happen. What do you do when things happen? Do you blame God? No, you can't blame God when people have a will. Did you know people have a will? Sometimes things, you may be going through something. Sometimes people just make a choice. You know what? Rejection's one of the ugliest things. It can hurt you dearly. But here's the thing, that the scripture that I seen more clearly than I ever had, that God said He'd never leave me nor forsake me. Maybe all. Apostle Paul knew what that was about. Another preacher, he said, all have forsaken me, but the Lord was with me. Here's the thing, that's heavy stuff. But you know what? God will get you through it. I can tell you right now, this heart of mine right now, there's no hurt. There's no pain. There's no strife. There's nothing but peace and joy on the inside. God can do that. But you got to give Him your whole life. He works with everything, amen? He don't want just bits and pieces. I mean, if you're in love with somebody, do you just want a little bit of them or you want all of them? Come on now. That's our God. He's a jealous God. He loves us. And He's full of grace and truth. Listen, get the truth on the inside of you. Here's the thing. The reason why it starts breaking off things. Freedom. The truth sets you free. Listen, walking with God, there's no greater thing. The reason why God doesn't want us to get into sin, because as soon as we do, we start getting depressed. We start getting down. We start getting low. God never wanted us down here. He said we're the head and not the tail. Amen? Why do I not want to do that kind of stuff? Because you know what? It's going to rob me of my joy. It's going to rob me of my peace. It's going to rob me of all the fruits of the Spirit. And I need the fruits of the Spirit because I need strength. I need the joy of the Lord. It is my strength. I say things like this all the time. This is not just, here, you have to say this stuff in relationship with God. Not just flippantly say it. It's the Christianese thing to say. You'll get that in a minute. You say it in a relationship. I say things like, God, you've made me more than a conqueror. Greater are you that's in me than he that's in the world. No matter what I'm facing, your grace is sufficient. I have the ability to get through it. Whether you're old, young, small, it doesn't matter. You have the grace to get through it. Amen? And you can actually get through it, and when you come through the other side, you can be shouting and say, you know what, God, it was more of you and less of me. Amen? Yeah. Yeah, that's what John the Baptist said. He said that you, God, must increase and I must decrease. You know, I need to be on the decrease. Listen, you really like me as a Christian. You wouldn't like me at times when I wasn't serving God. I promise you. My friend Damon is here. He hung out with me. There were some people that did not like me. But you know what? Here's the amazing thing. I had a friend named Chris Alcorn. Maybe some of you know him. Don't know. He was a rival at Arcata. You know me and him are friends now. He hated my guts in high school. I'm just going to say it, and then I'll leave the church. Because we kick Arcata's butt every year. Anyway, we'll get back to preaching here. But now I have a great relationship with him. And 2 weeks ago he said to me, he said, I can't believe that I'm talking to you. And you're one of my best friends. God's about relationship. That's all that God is about, is relationship. And let me tell you something. He wants a relationship with you. I could preach for another hour, but I need to start wrapping it up. Boy, I am ready to go. But the most important thing is that you know Him. That you know Him. You know, I've said this many of times. I've had regrets in my life. I've regretted things that I've done. I think all of us have. But I've never regretted making Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. Never. Never regretted that one. Because He's the lover of my soul. He's the one when nobody else is there. He's there. He's the one when I'm thinking thoughts that I shouldn't. He's there to encourage me. It's a relationship. You need to know Him. It's up to you to make a decision. Jesus has already said yes to you. Will you say yes to Him? That's it. That's how simple it is. The gospel is He did it for you. He did everything for you. In order for you to have a relationship with Him. In order for you to live with Him for all eternity. People would say, if He's such a loving God, why is He going to send people to hell? You need to read Matthew 25:41. Hell was not created for God's creation. It was created for all Lucifer's fallen cohorts that followed all those demons that chose willingly, had full knowledge of what they were doing when they rejected Christ and rebelled against Him. That's who it's for. But the problem is, there's only two kingdoms, people. There's the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. You're either in one or you're in the other. Before I got born again, listen, you didn't have to teach me how to lie. I already knew how to lie. Because my nature wasn't right. I just sinned. It was just something I was good at. Didn't even have to try because I needed to be born again. I needed this life, this Zoe life, the God kind of life on the inside of me. And Jesus says, you must be born again. Not maybe, not might. You must be born again to see heaven and to enter into heaven. How many want to see heaven? I don't know why anybody wouldn't want to. But nobody wants to see hell. I got news for you. There's people in hell right now, and God didn't intend for them to be there. And the only reason is because maybe they heard the same message I'm preaching to you. Instead of saying yes to him, they said no. Because they figured they could figure it out and do it their way. And guess what? I'm telling you, they have regrets. But when you say yes, you'll never regret it. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. If you today would just be honest with yourself and honest with God, that's all that he is asking. Honest with yourself and honest with God. You say, Pastor, I've heard briefly about this grace, that I can't get there any other way except through the blood of Jesus, and he loved me that much. That for God so loved me that he would give his only begotten Son, that if I would just believe in him, I could have eternal life. If you're here today and you've never, I'm saying never, made Jesus the Lord of your life, and you want to get right with God, you want to see heaven for all eternity, you need to ask the question of your own heart if you've said yes to him or no to him. But he's given you an opportunity today. I would never want to embarrass anybody. Neither would God. But he said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. But if you deny me, I will deny you. Not that he wants to, but you have to stand for what's truth, and he is truth. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need to get saved. With an uplifted hand, raise your hand and say, I need to give my heart to Jesus. I feel him tugging on me today. Looking at both sides. Listen, this is your day. If he's tugging, just obey your heart. That's all you have to do. We will pray with you as a church. Look in both sides. All right, one more call. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've done some things that I shouldn't have. And I know it and God knows it. I need to get some things right with God. Would you raise your hand? We want to pray with you. I see that hand. Yeah, that's right. All eyes up here just for a little bit moment. Look at this young guy. Amen. It's a joke. I feel like I have so much more, but I feel like it's time to wind it down. How many enjoyed hearing a little bit about God's grace today? Undeserved favor and blessing. You are blessed. That's why people go around saying in the church, they say, I'm blessed. Well, it doesn't look good. Doesn't matter. I'm blessed. God's going to bring me through this thing. I'm okay. I'm with him. I'm on God's side. Amen? It was a privilege to come here and explode on you for about 30 minutes. Amen? But listen, grab hold of what was said today, these bits and pieces. And if you don't have a church, I mean, here's a church. Amen? Worship was awesome. Awesome. But can I just pray over the congregation real quick and I'll be done and Father, I just thank you for today. You are so gracious. You are so merciful, Lord. Lord, I pray for every person in here. I pray, Father, you said the steps of the righteous man are ordered of you. So, Father, thank you for leading and guiding each and every one of us, Father, in the direction you'd have us to go. Lord, we trust in the Lord, in you, with all our heart. We'll lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge you. Lord, and you said you'll direct our paths. We're believing for that. Lord, I pray over Humboldt County right now. I pray that the Spirit of God would touch every single person in this county. Lord, they have divine appointments with you, Father God, that you would explode in this place and change the hearts of people. Father, they say it can't happen here. Revival can happen here. It can happen right here in Humboldt County. You walked in dark places, Lord, and you lit it up. So, Father, I pray that you light this county up in Jesus' name. You're not done with the people here, Father. You love them. Father God, you desire to be with them for all eternity. Thank you for every preacher, every pastor, every believer in this city and in this town here in Blue Lake, Father God, that you will use every single one of us for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for having me.